Heavenly Father, God, we do exalt You this morning. We exalt You because You are our God, the one to whom we must give all praise and thanks and glory and honor. Lord, we just pray that You would bless this time together, that we've gathered in Jesus' name, the one who died for us, the one who lives for us, and the one for whom we live. We pray that You would bless this time, that we might have seeds planted in us that would grow, that we might be strengthened, Lord, to make it in a very hard and cold and sometimes difficult world. But most of all, Lord, that we would be able to be blessed and show the world how awesome You are. May You be exalted in this moment so that You may be exalted in all of our lives. Lord, we thank You for who You are, for what You've done, and for what You're going to do. In Christ's precious name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. I'll say one thing. You're probably not going to forget what you've seen here already today. And I bet no one had in mind or expected anything like that when they got dressed. But that was a true blessing. I bet we've got some kids that will truly remember about planting seeds, and that's not just a story. It's something that we can all do, and we all should do. I also want to take just a minute, and I came to this thought process or revelation this morning in regards to how proud we are of Sarah and representing us and her family and her upbringing, and I just think it's awesome. Everybody says the world is getting worse, and it's worse and worse every day. That's not always true, because I know that Sarah, you didn't try to manipulate anybody or anything. You just trusted in the Lord and who you are in Him, and I'm just so tickled for you that your fellow students recognized you as being an awesome person. I just mean that, and so I'm impressed with students that see that in her, because that's who she is. Turn with me, please, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, as we have been looking at the Sermon on the Mount, specifically the Beatitudes at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, walking through them slowly and trying to be blessed and learn by what Jesus is talking about there. It says there in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, "Now, when He saw the crowds, He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him, and He began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" We've already talked about the word blessed there that Matthew had originally written down. The Greek word means happiness. It means happy are those who are poor in spirit, for they will, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, because they will be comforted. Happy are the meek, they'll be inheriting the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for those are the ones that are going to be filled. It means happy. See, we think, and the world tells us that there's a way to get happiness, and we think, well, you know, if I could just find that certain somebody to marry or whatever, that then I'll be happy. And we say, well, you know, if I could just get that particular job, then I'll be happy. If I could just get out of school, I'd be happy. We think if we could just have a couple of kids, I'd be happy. Or if I could just retire, I'd be happy. If I just had a little bit more money, I'd be happy. Every time it fails, amen, because none of that's listed here. Jesus tells us in the Bible, the way, the route to happiness. All right, He tells us right here the ingredients that are needed to be blessed and to be happy. All too often, what we're missing is not all these external things, but something internal. And that's what we want to share this morning. As we look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, this morning we look at the seventh beatitude, and it says, "Blessed," or happy, "blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Now, here's the first point I want to make this morning. If you don't get this, the rest of it is going to be kind of lost on all of us, okay? Because it's all predicated and built upon this simple fact. We're going to be looking at peace in all the wrong ways if we don't understand something that's very important, okay? Get this. Peace is internal, not external. Peace is something that goes on inside of us. It's in our heart, it's in our mind, it's in our spirit. We tend to look at peace as something that's going on outside, whether there's peace in the room, or whether there's peace in the relationship, or whether there's peace between two people, whether there's peace in a gathering, whether there's peace in a group, whether there's peace in a family, whether there's the lack of conflict or the lack of argument and problems and all that sort of thing. See, all these things, the conflict, the arguments, the strife, problems that exist between people, that is the result of the lack of peace. Peace is what's going on inside, and it manifests itself, it comes out in all these ways. We need to understand that true peace that we're looking for is internal, not external, and the external factors are revealing whether or not there is peace. Now, we also need to note right here in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, as Jesus is talking, he does not say peacekeepers, but he rather says peacemakers. Now, not that there's anything wrong with trying to keep the peace, all right? It's a noble concept. It's a great idea. It's a good thing, and I'm all for it, and I'm sure all of you are too. But we need to understand he's talking about peacemakers, not peacekeepers. Listen, there's always going to be conflict. Amen? Okay, you just can't hardly get around it. I think anthropologists have studied the last 4,000 years of civilization, and they've counted up in the last 4,000 a total of about 300 where there's been total world peace. Okay, 300 years out of the last 4,000 have seen world peace, and I'm sure that's because they just haven't found any records of the arguments or wars that was going on during that time. There's always conflict. You need only look around you. There's always going to be conflict between nations. There's always going to be conflict between factions within nations. See Washington, okay? Democrats and Republicans. There's always going to be conflict, seemingly for the sake of conflict. There's always going to be conflict between individuals, between people, between husband and wife, between parent and child, between neighbor and neighbor, between boss and employee, okay? The difference, listen to me, between the peacekeeper and the peacemaker is that the peacekeeper tries to avoid the conflict, tries to just ignore it, pretend it's not there, not deal with it, while the peacemaker recognizes that there is a conflict, okay, and tries to bring peace out of it. The peacekeeper says, I don't want to deal with that. The peacemaker says, we're going to fix this. We're going to make it right. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. All right? Again, there's going to be conflict. What are we going to do? What Jesus is telling us here, to be blessed, make peace, right? Don't wait for it. Don't attempt to ignore the fact that there's a lacking of it, okay? Don't even try to find it. He says, make peace, all right? Is there someone in your life that you're holding resentment toward? Is there a relationship in your life right now that's strained? Is there lack of forgiveness? Is there trust that has been lost between you and someone, all right? Is there love that is being withheld between you and someone, all right? What Jesus is telling us here, blessedness, happiness comes from for those who make peace. He says, go make peace. Instigate it. You start the process toward having peace. Seek it. Go after it. Pursue it. Jesus was talking a little bit later on, and he said, if you have a conflict between you and somebody else, you go to them. We've read that before. We read it just a few weeks ago. Matthew chapter 18, Dale, and beginning in verse 15, he says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. All right, says if there's a lack of peace there, go and talk to them about it. All right, go try to make peace. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established with a testimony or two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Not hating them, still loving them, still offering them help when they need it, but maybe you just don't have supper at their house, okay? You know, you're just not the closest of friends with them, so to speak. But here's the real key. In verse 18, he says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." In other words, whatever I choose to hold on to, if I want to hold on to that grudge, if I want to hold on to that resentment, if I want to hold on to I'm just going to ignore this and I'm going to hold on right here and I'm going to wait till it passes by and I'm not going to deal with it, then that will be, according to Jesus, held against you and I in heaven. He wants us to make peace. But if we let it go, if we let ourselves go, if we let our resentment go, if we just have the mercy, if we let it go, then that accountability will be let go from us. It will be released in heaven. All this tells us something very important, okay? This is not to be overlooked. This fact is extremely important, that it is very largely, hugely, enormously important to God that we have peace. He wants it for you. It's huge to Him. God wants peace in us and between us. It is His greatest desire. So then, what do? The second thing I want us to know this morning is we need to go and make peace with others, all right? The Bible tells us right here, blessed are the peacemakers. What He's saying is you'll be happier if you do. Go make peace with others. This requires forgiveness. It requires mercy on our parts. It requires humility. It requires obedience to God. It requires submission to God. It requires that I stop looking out for me and I look out for peace. If I need to go to them, I need to go to them with a heart that is seeking peace, not satisfaction for self. You follow me on this morning, okay? If I'm going to make peace, I need to go to that other person, as Jesus has told me, and I need to go to them seeking, looking for, actively pursuing peace, not satisfaction for me. He says you'll be happier if you do. Let's be peacemakers also, not peace fakers. Don't fake it, fix it. That may very well mean fixing ourselves in some cases. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Jesus continued on a little bit later in Matthew chapter 5. He said, listen, verse 21, "You have heard that it was said to people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.'" Pretty straightforward. Here's where it gets interesting. "But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Right? He didn't want that lack of peace between us. God wants us to make peace with each other. Listen to me this morning. This is key. Right? Listen to me. Much of what matters to us, much of the issues that just matter so much to us in an emotional moment or an emotional state, and most of what matters to us in a situation between somebody else, doesn't matter to God. You know, we need to come to grips with that. A lot of what, unfortunately, matters to me in a situation doesn't matter to God. Peace matters to God. He wants peace for you. Okay? Don't get me wrong. You matter. That other person matters. But the things that we think that we have to go and fight for, those things usually are not the things that matter to God. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you let go of on earth, that'll be loosed in heaven. Right? The stuff that we're clinging to, it doesn't matter to God like I feel it probably should or does. Saint Telemachus was a monk in ancient Rome. He lived in the 4th century. He felt God saying to him, go to the city, go to Rome. So he packed up all of his belongings there in the monastery where he lived, and he made his way to Rome He put all of his possessions in the sack, and he went there, and when he arrived in the city, he found the streets were just clamoring, okay, just thronging with people, and everybody was all geared up and excited. And he asked them, you know, what's all the hubbub about? What's all the excitement about? And they told him that today was the day when the gladiators would be fighting and killing each other in the Colosseum. It was the day of the games, the circus. And he thought to himself, 4 centuries after Jesus died, and they're still killing each other just for enjoyment. He thought that didn't sound right. He ran into the Colosseum and he heard the gladiators saying, "Hail Caesar, we die for Caesar." And he thought, this just isn't right. Telemachus jumped over the railing and went out in the middle of the field where he got between the two gladiators, held up his hands and said, "In the name of Christ, stop this." The crowd protested and began to shout, "Run him through! Run him through!" So one of the gladiators came over and took the blunt end of his sword and hit him in the stomach. Telemachus dropped to the ground there, gasping for air, and he said, "In the name of Christ, stop this." The crowd continued to chant, "Run him through! Run him through!" And the other gladiator came over and was happy to oblige, according to one account that we read, and stuck his sword right through the monk's stomach. And he fell back to the sand, which began to run with his own blood. And one last time, Telemachus cried out, "In the name of Jesus, stop this." Now, other accounts have him being stoned by the crowd, but we do know for a fact that at that moment, 80,000 people, it says, came to a hush. They realized that he had a point. There's no need for us to be fighting each other. No need for a lack of peace, not after what Jesus has done. The things that we think matter, they don't. Peace is available. Emperor Honorius had the game stopped because of what Telemachus had done. Make peace with others. This is God's will. There's no need for us to disagree about anything because the only thing that matters is Christ crucified for your sins and mine. We have that in common. Somebody say amen. The second thing we got to do if we're going to be peacemakers, besides just making peace with others, we need to make peace for others. You see, remember this, by the way, when talking about peacemaking. You can't create peace, you can only make it. You can't create anything. To create something is to start with nothing and then have something. Only God can do that, right? Okay? You can make a cake, but you can't create one. In other words, you can start with the ingredients that are already available and make something. You can't create it. So if there's nothing there, you can't create peace, but you can take, listen to me, what you have and make peace out of it. Alright? What do we have? We have Jesus Christ. Amen? We have the gospel that saves. Amen? There is the first ingredient, the main ingredient, maybe the only ingredient that is required to make peace. Amanda, I asked her to talk about this little boy, Braden. He hasn't had the kind of life that you and I have had. Right? I don't know all the details. I'm not going to get into some of them that I do. But just simple things like love and growing up in a home where that was present, he doesn't know. Having parents who make sure that he's fed, he doesn't know that. You understand what I'm saying? He doesn't know the difference. Experiencing a day-to-day life where there's not somebody bleeding or shooting or taking drugs, some people don't know that. They don't know what it's like. And if you grow up in that environment and you don't know any different, how in the world can you possibly expect to have peace in your own life? But some of our own have seen the plight of this little boy and some of his brothers and sisters. Their heart went out to him. And they said, "You know what, I've got something that may be a help to you. It's my church. Meet somebody there that's unlike anybody else. His name is Jesus." Courtney came home one Wednesday night and she was telling me about this little boy and they're getting ready to play games and he's hugging that Bible and she said, went up to him and said, you can put that down. And, no, this is my Bible. Do any of us appreciate one that much? Understand, he saw something here that he wasn't getting anywhere else. A love, a real, true outreaching and outpouring of God's love. And that is where we begin to make peace for somebody who wouldn't know it any other way. Make peace with others. But if we're going to be peacemakers, then we have to make peace for others as well. You know, at Christmas time we say, peace on earth, goodwill toward men, right? We've heard that our whole life. That comes from Luke chapter 2 and verse 14. In the King James Version, it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Why that talk about that in that way, right there in the middle of chapter 2 of Luke, which we know is the birth story of Jesus Christ? You see, because here's the way it goes. Peace on earth, God, in all of His love and glory, at this point in history, stepped into creation, actively became involved in what was going on and the problems that you and I had, that all of humanity and creation had, and that is the sin and the unnecessary killing and the unnecessary strife and the unnecessary lack of peace because we've departed from God. God got actively involved in our situation. He stepped in so that we might have peace, and He gave us Jesus. Peace on earth. Make peace for somebody else by actively stepping in and helping them right where they are. See, what God did when He stepped in is He made everything else that separates us not matter. Making peace is getting actively involved in changing somebody else's heart and life. Bill Hybels is a pastor of an extremely large church in Chicago, Illinois. He wrote several books. He tells in one of them about a time that he did just that. He had a close friend, a very close friend of Bill Hybels, whose life was obviously taking a turn for the worse, going in the absolute wrong direction. And he asked his friend to come and have lunch with him one day so they could talk. And when the time was right and they were sitting there over the meal together, his book says that he said to his friend, listen, I'm not trying to run your life. I'm just concerned about the direction that it's taking. And he says that his friend got so mad he just about jumped over the table and punched Bill's lights out there in the middle of the restaurant. So Bill backed off. He said, listen, I'm sorry. I'll never mention it again. And he didn't mention it again. And just a short few months later, his friend just totally shipwrecked his own life. Marriage, job, everything. Bill Hybels writes that he's seen his friend since, and he made it a point to go up to him and listen and say, listen, I failed you. I failed you. I should have said, listen, you friend, you hit me if that's what you think you need to do. If it makes you feel better, you punch my lights out. But I'm going to stay on your case because I'm concerned about your future and you're my friend. See, by not confronting the situation, by not trying to make peace with what we do have, by not trying to confront the situation that causes problems, all right? Instead of trying to keep the peace instead of actually make the peace, what we actually do is prevent the real peace. Y'all follow me on that? Peace is internal, not external. We try to preserve something external and we prevent the internal. I'm talking about confrontation. I'm talking about making peace. The last thing I want to share with you is, well, if we're going to be peacemakers, we've got to make peace with others, and we've got to make peace for others. We've got to make peace with God. See, the obstacle to peace with God, obviously, is our sin. Jesus came to this world just for the purpose of taking care of that. Ask yourself this morning, do I feel at peace with God? And if not, we need to realize that's probably because of some sin in our life, some unforgiven, unconfessed, unrepented sin, and we know it. You say, preacher, I went to the altar one time. I prayed that prayer with the preacher that was there that time. You know, I've been baptized. I'm a member on the roll. Teaching one of us. A I'm a deacon, whatever the case may be. I've got Christ, but I don't have peace. That's a lot of people. And you may be able to say that statement without any reservation and be completely right. I've got Christ, but I don't have peace. Let me ask you this morning, does Christ have you? Every war that's ever been fought in this world, peace came through surrender. Not one of us will ever have peace with God until we surrender to God. We'll not be blessed to the level that you could. You will not have happiness to the level that He wants you to until you surrender to Him. Alexander the Great was possibly one of the greatest military and political leaders of all time. He started the Greek Empire, conquered half of the known world. It was his policy at any time, if it was anyone in his entire kingdom, entire empire, who wanted to appeal to him, they could. If they'd been convicted of a crime, if they'd been accused of wrong, you could always appeal to Alexander the emperor himself. When the appeal was made, his judgment was final. He was known to be fair, but very ruthless, so not a lot of people took him up on that. Not a lot of people took it that far. However, there was one young soldier who was brought before him to make an appeal. The young man wore the tunic as he was brought before the emperor of Alexander's own army. And Alexander said to him, What is it that you're charged with? And the prosecutor said, he is charged with cowardice in battle. Now, the history books tell us that everybody got real quiet because they knew Alexander didn't put up with that. Alexander the Great didn't push his troops into battle with the enemy. He led them. And so cowardice on the part of any of his men was not to be tolerated or allowed. Alexander looked at the young soldier who was just a teenager, a mere youth. The angry scowl on his face became changed to a look of a little bit more understanding, and he said, "What is your name, soldier?" "Worthy king," responded the youth, "my name is Alexander." Alexander the Great replied angrily, "So you say your name is Alexander. You are found guilty of your crimes and you must pay the penalty. I sentence you to either change your conduct or change your name. For no man can bear my name, Alexander, and do the things you have done." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called dare not call ourselves by His name and not be peacemakers. Another need for other need, God Himself. He says, change your conduct, change your name. Now maybe that's what some of us need, is a change in name. See, that's the business God's into. He's into that business, okay? He changed Saul the murderer into Paul the apostle. He changed Abram the ordinary to Abraham the faithful. He changed Simon the wishy-washy into Peter the rock. He changed me. Praise His name, He changed me. He'll do that for you too if He hasn't. He wants to change into somebody who makes peace, who has peace, who gives peace, and who is blessed and happy. this is the route I'll be able to take and bring peace. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your love, a love that wants to give us peace above all else, a love that wants to bless our lives, a love that wants to forgive us of our sins and build for us a full, abundant life in Christ. Lord, help us each and every one to recognize where we're missing out on peace and go make it. Go make peace where it's missing with what you have given us. It's more than enough if we would just choose to. God, if there be anyone here this morning, if there be man, woman, or child, who is not at peace with you because they know they're not forgiven, who is not at peace with their eternity because they're worried about what their true spiritual status might be, Lord, they have the opportunity, Lord, I pray that you would move upon them to be peacemakers and be called a son or daughter of God before they leave this room today. Lord, we thank you for giving us this truth and giving us the ingredients and giving us the chance. Help us, dear God, to make peace for each and every one of our family members, church members, co-workers, everybody we know, for true happiness can and will result. For the peacemakers will be called sons of God, will be called followers of Christ. It is in His name, as always, that we beseech you. In Christ's name, amen. A fellow by the name of Nobel. What's that guy's first name? I lose names, all right? This is totally off subject, but I lose names. We'll call him George, but that's not his name. Nobel. Peace Prize. Y'all heard of that. Most notably, though, he was the inventor of dynamite. He invented dynamite so that they could clear out rocks and make roads and do good things. And he was so affected, so impacted by the fact that they started using it for war, to kill people, and for destruction, that he wanted to do something to counteract that. So Nobel founded the Peace Prize so that they might recognize and award someone for trying to make peace. See, it came out of trying to make amends for the whole dynamite. I want to tell you that God is of the same mindset. He is looking to reward those who make peace. And reward is blessedness. And reward is happiness. And reward is righteousness. It awaits anyone who makes peace. I hope you will. We have a chance as we stand and sing.